A reading from the Gospel of John. Reclining at table with his disciples, Jesus was deeply troubled and testified, "Amen, amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another, at a loss as to whom he meant. One of his disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, was reclining at Jesus' side. So Simon Peter nodded to him to find out whom he meant. He leaned back against Jesus' chest and said to him, "Master, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I hand the morsel after I have dipped it." So he dipped the morsel and took it and handed it to Judas, son of Simon the Iscariot. After Judas took the morsel, Satan entered him. So Jesus said to him, "What you are going to do, do quickly." Now none of those reclining at table realized why he said this to him. Some thought that since Judas kept the money bag, Jesus had told him, "Buy what we need for the feast, or to give something to the poor." So Judas took the morsel and left at once, and it was night. When he had left, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and he will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. You will look for me, and as I told the Jews, where I go you cannot come. So now I say it to you." Simon Peter said to him, "Master, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I am going you cannot follow me now, though you will follow later." Peter said to him, "Master, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? Amen, amen, I say to you, the cock will not crow before you deny me three times." The Gospel of the Lord. "Walk with me into the upper room, and let us go see what we can see." Simon Peter passes the plate of lamb to the other Simon. Philip and Thomas banter about whose sandals are wearing out faster. Andrew and James break out laughing about the foibles of the Pharisees. Eating and drinking, it is another evening meal among friends. Jesus is unusually quiet. In these days of increasing tension from the outside world, Jesus is troubled, as pressure builds when he ought to feel safe among those he loves. All is not well. In this final time, will they be there for him? Jesus knows Peter. Jesus knows Thomas. Jesus knows Judas. Over these months, he has tested them. He has discerned their nature. He knows that he cannot trust them. In an intimate gesture, Jesus dips a morsel of bread and hands it to Judas. Judas rises from the table and heads out the door. Could the coming betrayal be more painful than the impending pain of the crucifixion? Jesus quietly tells Peter that he will deny him, and the big fisherman gives the retort, "I will lay down my life for you." But he doesn't. Might there be as much inner anguish at the approaching abandonment of his friends as in the fear of a scourging at the pillar? He who loves so deeply can also be wounded so very deeply. Betrayal and denial can feel like being dropped into a deep well of anguish. And Jesus knows human nature, and Jesus sees it coming. Walk with me into some other rooms of trust and betrayal so that we see what we can see. As a bride and a groom look into each other's eyes at the altar, they trust that each will be faithful until one sits by the deathbed of the other and not in the bed of someone else. As a young man shakes hands with his new employer, he trusts that the company and this boss will help him to flourish and to grow, and not to be personally belittled or destroyed. As a group of high school students laugh and chatter their way onto a Germanwings airplane, they trust that this smiling pilot and his co-pilot will fly them safely home, and not into a mountainside. For you and me, when an expectation is not met, when a bond is broken, when a trust has been shattered, we can feel like we have been dropped into the deep well of betrayal, and we may not have seen it coming. What are we supposed to do about that? We can choose, "I've been hurt, and there's no way that I can go on." Or we can choose, "I've been hurt, but there is a purpose to my life, and I will go on." When we've been betrayed, we can choose, "I have been hurt and nobody cares." Or we can choose, "I have been hurt and so has the one who created me." Jesus knew the pain of betrayal. Jesus knew human nature. so we can also learn from him how to discern. For even though he loved deeply, he was not so naive that he trusted blindly. He dipped the morsel and let Judas go. Jesus didn't give up on Judas, though Judas may have given up on himself. And even though Jesus was betrayed, he didn't go the other way and become so suspicious that he never trusted again. Jesus didn't give up on Peter either. He gave Peter a chance to make amends, for his steadfast love endured in spite of their betrayal. And Jesus said, "I will lay down my life for you." And he did. The flip side of betrayal and denial is this faithfulness. There was one disciple who mostly remained in the background of this story, and at least by his own account, that faithfulness characterized the beloved disciple as well. He stuck with Jesus all the way to the end. So walk with me into a third set of rooms, those rooms of heroic faithfulness, and let's see what we can see. We can see husbands and wives that stick together through joys and tragedies for 72 years. Those bosses who consistently look out for the good of their people through the ups and downs of the economic system. The pilots who conscientiously fly mothers and their babies home in spite of the weather and in spite of their personal feelings. The world is full of people who stick to it in spite of difficulties for the sake of the other. I'm sure that you have your own personal examples of heroic faithfulness. People you know who give when it isn't convenient to give. People who care when there may not be any caring coming back. People who take the time for others, even when they have no time. We are not called to a blind trust that lets us be used and abused, but a discerning trust that asks, do each of us care enough to help both of us to flourish? Not using and not abusing, but a trust that is mutual. That's how we build trust. We have tested and found that there are people who are steadfast and trustworthy, and therefore we can trust. This story of the troubled Jesus predicting his own betrayal and denial, this story can leave us a little raw. It is not fun to ponder betrayal. And the resolution of the story doesn't come until the end of this momentous week, early on Sunday morning. Our own stories of trust and betrayal can also leave us a little raw. We spend our earthly lives in the unpredictability of Holy Week. Our own personal Easter will be the first day of a new week, a new dawn, where there is no betrayal and no need for trust, for our expectations will be fully met. When we walk into that final room, who knows what we will see? We're not there yet, but we can see it coming. So let us pray together. Though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are at my side. And though sometimes I feel like I have toiled in vain, for nothing and uselessly I have spent my strength, you, O Lord, are my source and my goal, and I long to be with you. For you are my hope, O Lord, my trust, O God, in this moment. For all else can fall apart, but on you I can depend. Thank you for laying down your life for me, and so this moment into your hands I commend my spirit.